We want to be honest about what the problems are. We want to know what our enemy's doing.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Scott Murray, editor of the new book, The Gates of Hell, Confessing Christ in a Hostile World.
But on the other hand, this is no time for despair. Well, why? Because Christ himself, the Lord of the church, promises that the gates of hell shall not prevail against her.
Learn more about the gates of hell at issuesetc.org.
It's one thing to talk to Jesus. It's another thing when Jesus talks to you.
Exactly. Okay, well,
that's called mental illness, if I'm not correct.
Christians believe that God talks to them through his word. This is a basic Christian belief and not something that really should be held up for mocking or ridicule.
Conservatives in America believe in limited government. Fascists believe in unlimited government. Conservatives tend to believe in objective morality. Fascists reject it.
Death is to wander away from the home of your father. Death is losing the home he prepared for you to live in. Death is exiling yourself from his embrace and his love.
This is Tony from upstate South Carolina, an LTL freight haulers, love, issues, etc.
I don't know when it started. Well, I do know when it started. It started way back at the very beginning of Christianity. In the book of Acts, you can find a group. They're called the Judaizers. They kind of wander around after the apostles, and especially the apostle Paul. And they have kind of an agenda. They've got a goal. The goal is that if anyone really wants to be a Christian, they have to be a Jew too. And their big issue at the time was circumcision. But it also kind of helps explain a little bit why it is that even to this day, you could be an ordinary run-of-the-mill Christian. You could be one of those kind of Christians that still observes the Old Testament festivals and feasts. You're kind of really being a Christian in the historic sense. Although the first Jews who were Christians rejected that idea, or at the very best, they left those things absolutely free. So how is it that we find popularity of Old Testament Jewish feasts in American evangelicalism? Larry Huck's got a Feast of Purim scam going right now. We're going to be talking about it during This Week in Pop American Christianity. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, February the 23rd. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Chris Roseboro joins us for the first half hour or so. We're going to spend some time with him talking about Larry Huck's Feast of Purim scam. Then we'll be evaluating a new definition of pro-life. Have you heard this before? Well, being against abortion is one thing, but if you really are pro-life, that is a broader definition, you're going to have to do this and that and the other thing and believe this and that and the other thing and fight for this cause. Not only abortion, just one among many concerns you ought to have if you're really pro-life. Is that a new definition of pro-life and how do we respond to it? Holly Shearer will join us to talk about the Me Too movement and their attempt to have Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas impeached after 27 years after he was confirmed. Then Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest. We're going to remember first century bishop and martyr Polycarp of Smyrna, who's a giant in the first century of the church, but known best for the manner of his death. You can join us with questions or comments over the next 2 hours. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us for This Week in Pop American Christianity today, Larry Huck's Feast of Purim scam. Pastor Chris Roseboro, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Why are Jewish feasts so popular with many American evangelicals?
In part, it's odd that you put it this way, but in part this has something to do with the continuing backlash in evangelicalism against the Roman Catholic Church. And so the way the narrative is set up in evangelicalism, especially in these churches that are rediscovering these Old Testament feasts, is that this horrible Babylonian Roman Catholic system suppressed and oppressed the keeping of these Jewish feasts, and therefore we are taking them back and we're rediscovering the Hebrew roots of Christianity. At least that's how the narrative goes. And so the part of the renewed interest is based upon the belief that Rome had somehow stripped us of these things, and that Christmas and Easter, that these are pagan holidays that Rome foisted onto the church, sinfully so. And so oftentimes you'll find in groups that are embracing the Hebrew roots of Christianity, that they will oftentimes really anathematize the celebrations of Easter and Christmas and say that those are pagan, while we need to embrace these other things, Purim and Passover and Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles and things like that.
This goes beyond simply looking at the Old Testament feasts as they were in the Old Testament and showing how they are fulfilled and consummated in the coming of Christ, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. The book of Hebrews, by the way, is the book in the New Testament that teaches us that the Old Testament feasts, and specifically really the one you really want to focus in on the most is Passover, how the Old Testament feasts were types and shadows, and that now that Christ has come, the substance, he's the substance of which the types and shadows in these feasts were pointing to, that we Christians are no longer obligated, Christians are not obligated to keep these feasts because they were all pointing to Christ and have their terminus in him. And so the apostolic inspired writer of the book of Hebrews is literally writing an epistle to a group of Jewish Christians who kind of missed, if you would, the smells and bells of Judaism and were wanting to return back to that. And his whole argument is you really can't do that because those were the types and shadows, and that Christ is the fulfillment of them. And so in the New Covenant, there are no commands to keep feasts of this nature. All of them, in one way or another, picks up an aspect of Christ's redemptive work. And so now that Christ has come and fulfilled the law for us and is the substance of the types and shadows, those have all given way to the glorious light of Christ's appearing.
Does this also have some connection in some of these churches, their fascination with Old Testament Jewish feasts and festivals? Does it have something to do with their end times views, in which they do believe that God still, Jesus kind of isn't for the Jews so much? God still has a separate plan to save the Jews by bloodline, and that in the end, we're kind of all going to end up in the Old Testament, back in the Old Testament again, irrespective of Christ.
Right. So, this is the millennial aspect, if you would, that does play into the eschatology. And so you'll note in a lot of these evangelical groups, they have what I would say is an overstated importance of the nation, the modern day nation state of Israel, and their belief that somehow it's going to play some kind of a critical role in end times eschatology. And so that all kind of gets bundled in all of this. And another feature then would also be that you'll notice that evangelical preaching has become very anemic over the past couple of decades. And so there's a real hunger and a desire on the part of Christians, which is a good thing, to understand the Old Testament, because so few preachers nowadays even touch it or even really handle God's word in a substantive way. It is a natural thing for a Christian who wants to understand the things of God and to know their Bible to have at least some grounding and a proper understanding of the Old Testament and how we as Christians are to view it and look at it. And unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians who really don't know what to do with the Old Testament. And as a result of it, it gets really underplayed, and they don't know how to connect the front end of the book with the back. And that inability oftentimes will, I hate to say this, kind of set people up in a bad way for false teachers like Larry and Tiz Huck and the Hebrew Roots Movement and the modern day Judaizers, who are all too willing to come in and give you their explanation of the Old Testament, and in a very real way put you under bondage to the Mosaic Covenant or aspects of it, or even a twisted version of it, all to line their pockets with money, if you would.
I want to get to Larry Huck in just a minute here, but first, what was the Old Testament feast of Purim?
All right, so the Old Testament feast of Purim, in its historical first iteration, was a celebration of really the salvation of Israel. Israel was in captivity in Babylon. It's the story of Esther and Mordecai and the evil antagonist Haman, who was literally trying to have the Jews destroyed by royal edict, and how the people of Israel were saved. And it's really the only book in all of the Bible where God isn't explicitly mentioned at all. It is implied that he's working behind the scenes, and as a result of it, there's been a lot of criticism of the Book of Esther from Bible scholars and others. But I think a right understanding of this is when you understand the type and the shadow. And that is that when you see the connection then between Israel and the church, because all Christians are grafted into Israel, and currently you pick up then on the Babylonian captivity as a major motif for describing the state that we find ourselves in currently, as we are a kingdom in exile. We are not in the New Jerusalem, and how it is that in the midst of the very different kinds of trials and persecutions that we face as true believers in the one true God, that God works salvation for us and meets our needs so that we're not wiped off the face of the earth. So there's some wonderful motifs in the Book of Esther that play out as a very comforting theme for us Christians in the here and the now, as we wait for Christ to return and for us to actually finally once and for all go to the New Jerusalem. You know, I haven't been there. I'm looking forward to seeing it. But just like the exiles in the time of Esther were not, you know, they hadn't been to Israel. They were born in exile and they were awaiting the time, you know, for when they could return. So in a very similar way, we are as well. And yet we also, like them, face persecution, people who want to have us silenced or would take our lives because of our testimony of Christ. And in the midst of it, God still hears our prayers and meets our needs and delivers us from the hands of many of our persecutors. So it's a wonderful book in that sense. And the Feast of Purim is centered around the celebration of the deliverance of Israel from Haman. And, you know, and that's really what it's about.
So who is Larry Huck, and what is he pushing lately?
Larry Huck is one of these guys who's on, and you have to put the word in air quotes here, Christian television. You can find him on Trinity Broadcasting Network and on God TV and other outlets that call themselves Christian television stations. And he's a fellow who kind of puts himself forward as an expert in the Hebrew roots of Christianity. And over and again, whenever it comes time for a Jewish feast, he usually dedicates a few of his programs to specifically his spin on what those feasts mean for the people in his viewing audience.
And what you'll be listening for in this first cut from Larry Huck?
Your head's going to explode in three different directions. First of all, listen to how he claims to have a prophetic word from God regarding this year's Feast of Purim. Notice, we'll key in on the word Moedim when the time comes, but that'll help us explain how he's teaching this. But pay attention to some of the manipulation techniques that he engages in this first cut.
Hi, everybody. We're Larry and Tiz Huck, and welcome to today's broadcast. Now, listen to me. We're going to talk to you. Now, hear what I'm about to say with your spirit. We're going to talk to you about Purim.
Yeah.
Purim is the holiday in the Bible where God takes your impossible situation,
yes,
and turns it upside down.
Yeah.
This is a time of great miracles. Mm. Your world,
amen,
is about to change. You know, every time we're getting ready to do the television teachings, I get real excited because,
yeah,
it's the truth that we understand.
Yeah.
It's the truth that we possess.
Amen.
That sets us free.
Yeah.
And a lot of people maybe don't even understand the celebration of Purim.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at right now. We're getting ready to go in the time of Purim. And Purim is one of God's Moedims, Tiz,
yes,
one of God's appointed times.
Mm.
This is the time,
yeah,
on God's calendar, and we'll explain it to you, where he takes your impossible situation,
yes,
and turns it,
yes,
upside down.
Amen.
But besides that, and we teach on Purim every year at,
yeah,
this time, but besides that, listen to me. This is a time where those miracles of turning whatever Haman, whatever the devil is trying to do to you and turns it upside down. Yeah. This is a time this year of incredible miracles.
Amen.
And I want, and we're seeing that right now in our own church.
Yes.
We're seeing people who have been given horrible reports.
Amen.
By miraculous intervention of God,
Amen.
Those things being turned
yes.
upside down. So not only is this Purim,
yep.
but this is, I'm telling you this prophetically, this is double Purim.
Yes.
This is, I'm telling you, it's a time of incredible
yes,
miracles. And in ancient Hebrew, you know what we always teach, there's no word for coincidence. If you're watching yep. today, I don't care what the situation is, God has ordained you to watch this program,
yeah.
be a blessing to Israel, and he is going to, in an incredible way, turn their stories upside down.
All right, Chris, what were we listening to there?
It sounded like an infomercial to me, but which I think is the right category to put that into. So we'll key in on the first part of it, and that's his teaching. So one of the things over and again you will hear men and women like Larry Huck make a big deal about is they talk about the feasts of the Old Testament as Moedim, as appointed times, appointed seasons. And the way it gets described is that you didn't know this, but in the Old Testament, God has preordained certain times of the year where you have an appointment with him. And if you don't show up to the appointment, then you're going to miss out on the blessings that God wants to give you during these Moedim. The catch will always be, and we'll see this by the time we get to soundbite number three, but the catch always with these Moedim is that you can't show up before God to these appointments empty-handed. So the expectation is that you must always present God with some kind of an offering, a monetary gift, and once he receives it, then he can release the blessing that he had intended to give to you of that particular year at that particular time or schedule. That's literally how the televangelists teach these feasts. They are appointed calendar scheduled events where you've got to show up with money in your hand so that you can receive the blessing. And Larry Huck is letting everybody know that this year he's heard from God. It's not just Purim, it's double Purim. So, you know, you got that going for you, I guess.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. We are listening to some examples of Larry Huck's Feast of Purim scam. We'll hear a little bit more of the scamming after this. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity on this Friday afternoon, February the 23rd. Pastor Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Technology, diversity, family breakdown, gender confusion. Think for a moment. What are the most pressing issues facing Christians today? Whatever the issues may be, chances are good that the writers and editors of the Lutheran Witness magazine will be talking about them and helping readers see and understand them through Lutheran eyes. Subscribe today to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's flagship magazine at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
At Concordia Evangelical Lutheran Church of Wilmington, Delaware, our mission is to serve our community by sharing Christian hope. We've been doing this since 1938 and joyfully continue to do so in the 21st century. If you're ever in the city that DuPont Chemical Corporation calls home, or is known by some as the credit card capital of the world, we hope you visit to receive Jesus through his word and sacrament. Otherwise, check us out on the web at concordiawilmington.com.
Expert guests. Expansive topics. Extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to generous supporters, tuition for all incoming residential pastoral ministry and deaconess students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be paid in full.
Hi, this is Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess in the 2018-19 academic year at ctsfw.edu.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking with Pastor Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, about Larry Huck's Feast of Purim scam. I got a question, two questions for you before we move on to the next bite. You mentioned before the break, and he had said that he had a prophetic word from God that this is going to be a double Purim. That means, I take it, not that God's going to pay you back double, but that you got to bring double in Larry Huck's thinking, right?
I think you can kind of skin that cat both ways. If you give double, maybe you'll get double. It's a double-double. Who knows? Yeah, that's funny that you'd say that. But I think that that's part and parcel of kind of the manipulation techniques that he engaged in. I noted three, by the way, three overt manipulation techniques. One was the claim to direct revelation from God that this year is double Purim. But you'll notice at the beginning of the soundbite, he said, make sure to listen with your spirit. And then you'll note by the end of the soundbite, he was basically trying to communicate to those who happened to be flipping the channel and saw him, you know, talking, that this was an appointment by God. It's not an accident that you are watching me and my wife talk about Purim right now. This was all part of God's ordination and foreknowledge that you would watch this television program so that you can get in on this year's double-double Purim, I guess. Yeah.
The other thing is, and we've seen this so many times in the case of people who claim to be getting revelations from God, his revelation, his prophecy for his audience is of the vaguest nature possible. Whatever your Haman is, God's going to provide his Mordecai and his Esther, and it's going to turn everything upside down. So whatever you're facing, God's going to fix it. That's about as vague as you can possibly be.
Yeah, so you're going to note that that's the other part of how the manipulation works. It's a one-size-fits-all, and the person is kind of expected to kind of read it or hear it through the lens of whatever is plaguing them right now. In fact, we'll hear a little bit of him prompting people as far as what types of personal problems that they are experiencing in their lives that they could expect that God will intervene in this year's Purim. But, you know, it's very vague to say that God's going to turn it upside down. And let me explain. I don't cook very often, but from time to time I barbecue. And when I take the steak that I put on the barbecue and I turn it upside down, it's still in the fire. So, you know, things haven't improved for the steak, but for me, they have definitely improved as my steak approaches that perfect juiciness at which I like to consume it. But just because I take my steak and turn it upside down doesn't mean it's out of the fire. So you're going to note that what he is apparently promising for God, to the blessings of the Feast of Purim, don't really make too much sense, and you don't really know the cash value of them as far as what you're supposed to be receiving from God.
So what's next?
All right, so now we're going to hear him truly allegorize the Feast of Purim and get people's kind of whet their appetite as far as what different types of blessings you can expect during this year's feast.
You know, Larry, there's so much exciting
things
to talk about.
I love this. I love this.
I know. But, you know, come back to the original message here. Tell the people about Esther, because that's what this whole thing hinges on.
Well, Purim is the story of Esther. Esther, and I know most of you know this, but just for those of you that don't, Esther is the only book in the Bible, and yes. I want you to hear this. It's the only book in the Bible that never mentions the name of God.
Wow.
Esther is the story where Haman,
yeah.
which is the beginning of anti-Semitism, anti-Israel, anti-Jewish Ooh. People, Haman has it written by the king, the mm. decree that all the Jews would be wiped out.
Mm.
Now, in rabbinical teaching, the story of Esther is the hidden hand of God
yeah.
or the hidden face of God. Now think about this. Esther is the only book in the entire Bible that doesn't mention the name of God, doesn't hint at the mm. name of God, and the reason is it's a story for us,
yes.
for all of us.
Yes.
If you can't feel God,
mm.
if you can't see how it could happen, if you can't hear God, what are you saying? It doesn't matter. Behind the scenes,
yes.
and this is the story of Esther,
yes.
behind the scenes, mm. God is miraculously working.
Amen.
When everything looks bad, when everything looks negative, when everything looks impossible,
yeah.
God, this is this, God mm. does this every day.
Yeah.
But this is a Moedim,
yes.
this is an appointed time. What are you facing? What mm. Haman has made a decree. Maybe it's a decree against your finances, against your marriage, against
yeah.
your children, against
yeah.
your grandchildren, against your health
finances.
Or your body,
yes.
whatever it is.
Amen.
What decree has Haman mm. made where God, you can't feel God, you can't see God,
right.
you can't hear from God, but I'm decreeing to
yeah.
you, because God has ordained yes. you to be watching
Amen.
This program, He is going to turn your story
Amen.
Upside down.
Chris, I'm just curious. It is kind of a sideline to what we're discussing here, but you've talked before about Tiz Huck's, I think you call them yummy sounds or something
yeah,
like
that. Yeah, the yummy sound.
So what is the function of that? It has to have a function other than that she simply is reminding us that she's there.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to note that, you know, coming out of the first soundbite, you know, I liken this to an infomercial. And literally between the two of them playing off of each other, psychologically what they're doing is building your anticipation, your expectation. They're creating within you, you know, if you would, the excitement about what's going on. It's not just one guy saying it. It's the two of them agreeing with each other and then kind of in wordplay playing off of each other and creating this really this expectation that, listen, this guy is really connected to God and what he's saying. I mean, it's not an accident you're watching right now or you're hearing this right now. So and it's true because look how excited his wife is. And so God's going to turn your situation upside down because God told him that he can release that blessing to you right now. And so this is a sales technique. It is a sales technique as far as kind of creating groupthink, if you would, by just between the two of them. At creating anticipation, because ultimately the call is not going to be for you to believe that God cares for you and that he will answer your prayer. The call to action is not going to be, listen, and God ultimately demonstrates his love for us by sending his son, Jesus Christ, who was the one hung on the gallows of Haman, which, by the way, you can take the gallows of Haman and liken them to Christ. But he bled and died for your sins and rose again, conquered the grave. And, you know, and we are called to repent of our sins, the sin of idolatry, of not trusting God, of not calling upon him in the time of our need, and not believing that he hears us and not believing that he cares for us. All of these are First Commandment issues. The call at the end of this is not going to be repent and trust and believe and call on the name of the Lord. Be saved, be forgiven. He cares for you and will meet your needs. And, you know, that's not going to be the call. No. This isn't about believing in God in that way and trusting the real promises that we have in Christ, even the ones that are typologically alluded to in the story of Esther. Instead, the call to action is literally going to be you opening up your pocketbook and demonstrating to God and obeying God so that he can finally bless you. That's really where this is all going. So Tiz Huck's involvement is all part of the sales pitch, because what they're trying to get you to do psychologically is get to a fevered pitch where grab my checkbook, honey, I've got to get myself some double-double Purim blessing right now. That's literally what they're doing.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is our guest this week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about Larry Huck's Feast of Purim scam. When we come back, we'll hear from him again. We'll talk a little about something Chris mentioned, that is the tendency for these kind of preachers to allegorize the Old Testament. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300: Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana; Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota; Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota; St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin; Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California; St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa; St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado; Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri; and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor, and today there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armedforces. The LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkinitz. This week in Pop American Christianity, we're talking about Larry Huck's Feast of Purim scam. Pastor Chris Rosebro is our guest. Larry Huck and people like him make all kinds of phony promises that are not based in God's word to help you kind of deal with the hardships of your life. They make promises that they can't keep and that God has never promised to keep. The Issues Etc. book of the month for February goes to the real promises of God to a church and to Christians who find themselves in a hostile world. Jesus said it would not be easy. He said, the world is going to give you trouble. The world is going to hate you because it first hated me. So this shouldn't surprise us, but he also makes many promises. the foremost of which is that nothing the world can do, not even the gates of hell can do, will triumph against his body, the church. And that is the center of this book for February. The Gates of Hell, Confessing Christ in a Hostile World. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for The Gates of Hell, Confessing Christ in a Hostile World, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Chris, you mentioned that what Larry Huck did with the story of Esther was pure allegory. What is he allegorizing the story to? I mean, it'd be one thing to say this is an allegory of Christ, and that's part of what we do when we talk about types and shadows in the Old Testament. What is he allegorizing the story to?
So he's allegorizing the story in kind of the typical, what I call, narcissetical way. Narcissism and eisegesis are the two bases of that word, narcissesis, where basically you're the hero of all of the biblical stories, and you know, you just kind of read into it. You know, if you have a problem, that's your Haman. So a classic example would be the story of David and Goliath. You are David, and whatever is your problem in life is your Goliath. All you have to do is grab your five smooth stones and knock your Goliath down, and there you go, you're saved. That misses the whole point. The whole point of Christian typology, which, by the way, the scriptures teach us how to read the Bible in this way. The whole point of Christian typology is to help us see Christ's work, redemptive work, kind of foreshadowed in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the life, ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ in the New Testament. So the scriptures are about Jesus. Jesus explicitly says so. He says to the Jews in John chapter 5, you diligently search the scriptures because you think that in them you have life, yet they are the very scriptures that testify about me, and you refuse to come to me that you might have life. So if you want good, sound biblical exegesis, lesson number one, the Bible's about Jesus. It's not about you, and it's about what he's done and doing for you. And you're going to miss the point when you make yourself the center of it and you turn your problems into the, you know, the devil per se, rather than seeing yourself as being held under the bondage of the devil in need of a savior, and that the hero of the biblical text ultimately is going to point us to Christ, not you. You're not the hero. You're the one who's gotten yourself into the problem that you're in by sinning and rebelling against God.
And Larry Huck is not the only person using this method, as you've just mentioned. This is not just common. This is practically universal in American Christianity today, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's practically universal. And the sad part is over and over and over again is that people believe that they can somehow buy their salvation or by a miracle from God. All they have to do is send in a certain amount of money and then God is somehow beholden to act. And God does not need your money to care for you. He already cares for you, and he's already demonstrated his love for you by sending Christ to bleed and to die for your sins. And salvation is a gift, and all of the things that God gives us, this is, you know, just basic stuff. You know, when we pray the Our Father, when we pray, you know, Our Father who art in heaven, we are recognizing that God cares for us even in the midst of our dire needs, because he is our Father, and so it is because of his fatherly love that he meets our needs and hears our prayers and acts on our behalf. And it's not because we're giving him money. It's so sad that they've turned God into some kind of a vending machine of some sort. They basically take away any of God's fatherly aspects and just believe that if they give the right combination, do the right thing, or give the right amount, that God will act on their behalf. But God has already demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. They don't understand who God is or how the gospel operates at all. And it's so tragic that they're trying to buy something from God that God has already promised that he cares for them and will without them having to give him a thing. It's really tragic.
So what's the final thing we're going to hear from Larry Huck today?
Well, now it's got to be the call to action. We got to hear where all this is leading. How do you get your double-double Purim blessing? Well, we're going to find out.
just like God used Esther for such a time as this to turn your story upside down. And we're going to tell you maybe when we come back from the break in just in a couple minutes, we have had babies that horrible situation and a nurse runs in and says, don't do the operation. We just reread the report. I'm talking three this week.
Yeah.
Of that exact thing happened. One of our ladies full of tumors in her stomach. And God turned the story upside down. Finances, whatever it is.
Yep.
But remember this. Whenever God is getting ready to bless you, He first gives you a chance to be a blessing.
When you sow an offering of any size, we want to say thank you by sending you Pastor Larry's audio series, Purim, for such a time as this. The revelation of this extraordinary biblical holiday will release a dramatic flow of God's anointing, deliverance, and victory into your life. In addition, you'll also receive this splendid lapel pin proudly displaying your support of the bond between the United States and Israel.
Okay, Chris, I think the thing that makes it saddest about this is not that he is parting people from their hard-earned money, but that they are actually paying for him to continue to put this kind of stuff out.
Oh, yeah. You are not obeying God if you send money to Larry Huck. You're disobeying him. And the reality is that Larry Huck is an extremely wealthy man and continues to be so. And by sending him money, he is continuing to deceive literally millions of people around the world with this false teaching. And one of the things I wanted to point out is that, you know, he has his own church in Texas as well. And that's the place where they're claiming all of these miracles. And what's really interesting is that if you buy into this, and there are people within, you know, congregations within the LCMS or confessional Lutheran congregations around the country and the world where they are led to believe that they are somehow part of a subpar church because they don't have all of these exciting miracles taking place in their churches and they feel like God probably isn't present. And so they accuse churches like ours of having dead worship or quenching the spirit or things like this, because if we were truly in tune with what God was doing, we'd have the same types of Purim miracles that they have at Larry Huck's church. But the reality is that those miracles aren't really happening. He's just telling tall tales. And as a result of this, the people who are buying into this, they're being deceived and led away from the one true God to a false God who really doesn't even exist. But the one thing that false God demands of them is their money before he can give them any kind of blessing. It's really tragic.
So this is an extreme example of what happens in Pop American Evangelicalism when the Old Testament is allegorized to fit your situation. There's a fascination with things that have been fulfilled in Christ. The fascination with that you're kind of just lurking around in the shadows when the substance has come. But also the manipulation of people to support, in this case, Larry Huck's television ministry or his church or something like that. An extreme example. But is Pop American Christianity full of less extreme examples of exactly the same thing happening in a more subtle way?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it just follows the same template with one minor exception, and that is the very crass call at the end to send your money in order to receive your blessing. But over and again, just because that step is missed doesn't mean that it's somehow not tacitly implied. And so the idea then is that people show up to church and life is difficult. Living under the curse because of our sin has all kinds of very serious and dire and difficult consequences that we all have to struggle through and labor under. And people come to church oftentimes looking, to God to help them in the midst of their situations. And when they hear preaching that doesn't point them to Christ, but points them back to themselves, and they feel like, oh, well, this is the thing that I've got to apply so that I can alleviate what I'm going through as far as the suffering, and the allegorization takes place the exact same way, when it doesn't work, because God does not have to keep a promise he's never made, when it doesn't work, they are in even more trouble, and now they're even doubting as to whether or not God even loves or cares for them or anything of that nature. And so it's the type of preaching that creates doubts, anxiety, and ultimately leads to a lack of faith or loss of faith and utter despair. And rather than confidence going into your death, knowing that Christ loves you and that all of our promises are yes and amen in him, not necessarily in this life, but definitely in the life to come, because he himself says, "Behold, I'm making all things new." There is a new world coming where there will be no sickness and disease and errant children and all these terrible things that we have to experience right now because of our sin. That'll all go away, but we're not promised relief of the type that these guys are promising in this life. And it's really sad when the people hear false promises, believe them, and then they don't cash out. They end up totally despairing about Christ when they haven't actually truly been taught about him at all.
So what kind of scams will you be uncovering tonight on Fighting for the Faith, Chris?
Oh, we've got all kinds of scams. We're going to be talking about Joyce Meyer and others. So it's just going to be loads of fun over there in Pirate Christian Radio Land. So, yeah.
Folks, you can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast at 5 Central at piratechristian.com, right after the live broadcast of Issues, etc. piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
On the other side of the break, Scott Klusendorf joins us. There is a new definition of pro-life afoot. You've heard it. Actually, I first heard it, not from pro-lifers, but from people who support abortion. Well, you pro-lifers, you're not really pro-life. If you were really pro-life, you would, and then you can fill in the blank. Just simply protecting the unborn from the horror of abortion and fighting for both their right to life and their intrinsic dignity is no longer enough in the minds of some to qualify as pro-life. Now that objection is coming from within the pro-life community. We'll be talking about it on this Friday afternoon with Scott Klusendorf, president of Life Training Institute.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
You can meet and hear Hank Hanegraaff, Hans Feeney, Scott Klusendorf, Craig Parton, Will Wheaton, Angus Manoogue, and Jonathan Fisk at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Early bird registration is $110. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois.